All who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins and everlasting life are welcome here at this table. And a reminder, if there's anyone out there not quite familiar with how we do communion, we do hold the elements so that we all partake together. Because it is Communion Sunday, we also take up our special love offering that goes towards helping folks in our congregation with special financial needs, and you'll find a basket in the back for that special offering. Reminder, too, that VBS is coming up August 7th through 11th. That's coming up fast, and that's a great time. We can always use more volunteers, more helpers. How are we doing for volunteers, Greg?
We're looking
pretty good. Awesome. Fantastic. Great. Wonderful. Well, it sounds like the core volunteers that we need are there. Those spots have been filled, and thank you so much if you've already signed up for that. But we can always use more helpers. And so if you've got a couple of nights to spare that week at all to come out and help corral kids, by all means, talk to Greg. We can also always use folks that are willing to come alongside a volunteer and just kind of see how this works and help them out so that maybe you can do the same thing in the future. So again, talk to Greg if that's something that you're interested in. Speaking of VBS, we are also looking for donations for crafts. The kinds of things that we need are water bottles, 8-ounce water bottles, funnels that will fit the top of water bottles. Let's see what else here. Clear vegetable oil, 16-ounce clear plastic cups, and paper plates. So there's a sign-up sheet for those kind of donated items in the back there. If you want to take a look at what's still needed, you can sign yourself up for that. And if you have any questions about what's still needed, you can talk to Marge Coleman. Give a wave there, Marge. Oh, there you are. Sorry. I was looking at Gene. All righty. A volunteer is being sought for hosting and coordinating a First Thursday Fellowship for the ladies. That would be held on August 4th. And so if you're interested in hosting that, please talk to Pat Schutte or Shannon Wilson to get that going. Oh, and one more thing about VBS. We are also looking for volunteers to bake some cookies for that as well. We can always use more snacks and whatnot for VBS. 2 to 3 dozen cookies is what we're looking for from each volunteer, if that's possible. And so if you can do that, bring those around Sunday the 7th. That's the first day of VBS. Any other announcements that we need to get out there before we really get going today? Oh, yes. Oh, thank you. I had that written down on here and I forgot to go to it. Young Ladies Bible Study is going to be meeting Tuesday this week, this coming Tuesday at Siska's house. Is that at 7? At 7 o'clock. Alrighty, so if you're part of that young ladies group or want to be part of that young ladies group, that's going to be held at Siska's Tuesday at 7. While I'm at it too, I'll just say that convention was a great time. Greg and Dale and I were able to get out to Fergus Falls to our Synod headquarters and be involved in convention and all the business that happens there, as well as the seminars and whatnot that go on there. It was a fantastic time. Really encouraging. As you're probably aware, or at least remember, our Synod had some troubles financially this year. Giving was way down, and that posed some problems for creating the budgets for the next year. But I was very encouraged to see a renewed commitment from them in terms of supporting and growing our missionary field overseas and at home. But they did what they had to do to make sure that budget was balanced. And we'll bring you details about that convention probably in a week's time. I'm thinking that I'll gather Dale and Greg and I together to give you a quick update on convention and how our Synod's doing. So with that, grace and peace to you from God the Father and His Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ. Let's begin with our call to worship, which today comes from Psalm 95. Psalm 95, verses 6 to 7. You can find that in your bulletins or up on the screen here. But let's read that out loud together. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. And now let's turn to hymn number 526. Hymn number 526 is Victory in Jesus. I'll invite you to please rise as we sing this hymn together.
I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about His healing, of His cleansing power revealing, how He made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and brought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. And bathed into victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion He has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is to Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Thank you for your singing. You may be seated. Now, at this time, I'll invite up Vic Taylor, who's going to bring us God's Word this morning.
Morning. I'm going to read some verses here. I'm sure most of you are very familiar with, but they always meant a lot to me, so we're going to try it. It's First Epistle of John, chapter 1. First John, chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. I want to remind us all that before the death of Christ, once a year, the priest went into the Holy of Holies with some blood to sprinkle on the mercy seat for the sins of the people. Since the time that Christ died on the cross, we have an advocate, it says here, a propitiation, we have a mercy seat. We can just say that because it means the same thing. Now 24/7, as they say now, we can go into the Holy of Holies, or like we say now, we go before the Lord God Himself in the name of Jesus Christ. And we can go in there directly to God. And man could not do that before the Lord. And that always seemed to me like it's an unspeakable, wonderful gift. I thank you.
Amen indeed. You know, it's the pastor in me that likes to go ahead and talk after a scripture reading and expound, but I can't add anything to that. Thank you so much, Vic. Well, we do have access to that mercy seat. We have access to our Father in heaven. With all of our prayers and thanksgivings and supplications, everything we ask, we know He will give us. And so on Sundays, on Sunday mornings, we get to do that together as a family. as a church body, as the body of Christ, we get to pray together. And so, aside from the prayers that you see in your bulletin, which this week appear on an insert there, are there any other special prayer requests or praises that we can share together this morning? Munich, for sure. Thank you. I'm sorry, remind me your sister's name again? Diane. All righty. Well, we'll certainly pray for Diane and her recovery there from surgery, and certainly for the people in Munich after that tragedy there. Thank you. Ms. Harvey. Yes. Pray for those who have lost their loved ones, and especially right now, the world is feeling very upside down right now. A lot of violence and tragedy out there. Thank you. Yes.
My mother was released from rehab yesterday to come home.
Oh, great.
So just continue prayer needed for her mother and my siblings as we try to care for her. Particularly my sister, Michelle, which is the one that she wrote to, and we're, the rest of us are trying to, you know, be there where we can and all of her, so she needs prayer.
That's a big job. So we'll definitely be praying for Michelle as she takes that on, and the rest of you kids too, for sure. I'm sorry, remind me your mom's first name again.
Judy,
that's what, thank you. Yes. Thank you. Yeah, we'll be praying for our church and the missionaries we support. That is an awesome responsibility. And particularly those who are going into what seem like hostile territory sometimes. You know, they certainly need our prayers and our support. So we'll be praying for them too. Thank you. You bet. Yeah. Just deeper and deeper divided and facing so much uncertainty, it seems, right now. Thank you. Yes.
Our daughter, Rebecca, has a friend named Allison, who's a little 5-year-old nephew and 2-year-old who needs to be killed by their father.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what kind of words you can use to describe that kind of tragedy. But we'll definitely be praying for Allison and that family. Thank you. You bet. Travelers, it's summertime and people are coming and going, and definitely pray for safety on the roads and everywhere they go there. Thank you.
Oh.
Fantastic. Oh, bummer. You know, when they finally come up with a way to cure oldness, wouldn't that be great? Well, thank you. That's praise God for that. Yes, Greg.
Just praying for our church family. It was so comforting to see you. My mom was praying for travel. back from the travels. And don't take for granted the blessing you are. You go to see, you know, see Eric in the parking lot, and John and Vincent and the other friends and church down there that have been gone. Just total blessing to have people here.
It is. It's like coming home, isn't it? Yeah. Ah, praise God for that, for sure. Yes. You're not kidding. Politics is the third rail of religion. but no, you're right. We do need wisdom. We need godly wisdom in how to vote in these upcoming elections. And we'll certainly be praying for that. And thank you. Thank you. Well, if there are no others, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious and almighty Heavenly Father, we are reminded this morning that you created us, each and every one of us. And it's with that understanding that we know why it is you seek to save us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, you love us. And though we know we are fallen people, that we are broken by sin and unable to follow your law, to please you by the good that we do, although we know that we fall under your judgment for the sins that we commit against you daily, we come to you and praise your name and seek your forgiveness through Jesus Christ, who died our death on that cross and rose again to give us everlasting life, paying for that sin, being our propitiation for that sin, the full payment required to make us righteous. Lord, thank you for this indescribable gift. Lord, we have so many prayers and petitions and thanksgivings to bring to you today. Lord, we thank you for this church family and the blessing that it is to each and every one of us. We thank you that it is here with these people that we feel like we're home, that we are here with family. Lord, we thank you that in our travels while we were gone, we miss one another. And we look forward to that time when we get to be back together again. So, Lord, thank you for this incredible gift, that this love among brothers and sisters that can only come from you. Lord, for our travelers, we do pray for continued safety on the roads and in the air and wherever they may go. We thank you for bringing travelers back safely, and we pray your continued care that those who are traveling now would be brought back safely, that they wouldn't even see danger on the road. Lord, we pray for these upcoming elections. Lord, it seems that in so many ways the wisdom of the world is taking over. And so, Lord, we seek your guidance in knowing how best to exercise our rights in this democracy. Lord, we pray your wisdom in choosing the right leaders for this country. But even while, Lord, we know that you're in control of it all, that you remain king over all the presidents and kings of the earth. And so, Lord, even as we seek to do our best in this world and seek to live out our calling as Christians in this world, we just pray that you continue to guide us in all the decisions that we make. Lord, I want to pray for Kendra this morning and the care that she has received. I thank you for the treatments that she has had. Lord, we pray that you continue to give her comfort and relief from the side effects of these treatments. And most of all, Lord, that through them you would cure her of this cancer, that would be completely removed from her body, and that she would be made whole again. Lord, we thank you for your care for Vivian and the care she is receiving where she is now. And we pray that you would continue to heal her and knit back together this broken hip. Lord, we pray that physically she would be made strong again and that she can return back home where she wants to be. Lord, we do want to continue to pray for Carnell and Rita in this time of transition as they settle back into Wisconsin. We want to pray for her treatments. Again, that you would continue to care for her in the times afterward when those side effects come. I pray that you would give her strength. Lord, we do want to keep Walter in our prayers and pray that you would continue to bring your word to him, your word of salvation and faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for Charles as he faces the end of his life. Lord, we pray for the family as they care for him. Lord, I want to pray for Larry as he continues to battle various health troubles. I want to pray for Robin as she's having this pain in her knee. Well, Lord, we pray that that would be lessened by you. We praise your name for the healing you have accomplished in Doris. And thank you for getting her back up to speed again. I want to continue to pray for Erin and for strength and healing in her young body. Lord, we do want to pray for Diane and her recovery after this recent surgery. Pray that you would continue to strengthen and heal her. Lord, we thank you that Judy has been released from care and that she has so much caring family around her to take care of her. But Lord, we do pray especially for Michelle as she seems to be the primary caregiver for her right now. And Lord, we know that's a big job, so we pray that you would give her perseverance and strength and patience as she does this very important job. But likewise, we pray for the entire family as they seek to care her and care for Judy in the various ways that they can. Lord, I want to pray for this church and for our church body, the entire Church of the Lutheran Brethren. I pray that we would continue to be your light in the world, that we would be the salt in the earth, and that we would be faithful to continue to send missionaries out there into the world, reaching the unreached, bringing the gospel to those who haven't heard it yet. Lord, we pray that you would give our missionaries strength and guidance and perseverance as they work in those places that are so dark and that need your light. Lord, we pray for this country and for this world as we see so much violence, so much bloodshed, all of it so senseless. Lord, we pray with and for all of those who have lost loved ones. And we pray that you would give comfort during these times of tragedy, and that even through such terrible events, your name would be glorified, and that people would turn to you, to your Son Jesus Christ, as the one who has overcome the world. And in him they would find hope. Lord, we especially pray for Munich and the tragedies that have occurred there. And Lord God, we know that nothing happens but what goes through your hands first. And so, Lord, we just pray that through all of this, your will is accomplished. Lord, we don't understand all of the time what's going on and why it's happening, but Lord, we do know that you are in control and you are accomplishing your will and your purposes through it all. Lord God, we bring all these prayers to you. We thank you for the opportunity to pray to you, and we thank you for the promise that you are hearing each and every one of these prayers, and that you are answering them all according to your perfect will for our good. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's my joy to invite up Logan, Levi, Silas, and Solomon up for special music this morning. Come on up, guys. As a Canadian by birth, I appreciate all the plaid. What a finale! Great job, guys. Thank you for that reminder that we get to be the light in a dark world. Well, I'll ask you to turn with me now to our next hymn, which is hymn number 315. 315 is Rock of Ages. I'll ask you to please rise again as we sing this hymn together.
Ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow, could my zeal no respite know, this for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. When I draw my final breath, when my eyes shall close in death, when I rise to worlds unknown, and behold thee on thy throne, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee.
Amen. You may be seated. And now let us worship God with the giving of our offerings. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we give you praise, for you are the giver of all good gifts. And we thank you for caring for us, taking care of us in so many ways. You have provided for all of our needs, and then some. And so we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to give out of the abundance you have given us. And we pray that you would take these gifts and use them for the furthering of your kingdom on earth. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, it is time, kids, for our children's message. So come on up, guys.
Good morning. Daniel, thank you for coming up and helping me again. Kiddos, we couldn't have a kid's story without kids, right? Otherwise, it'd just be a story. I hear that you guys had a big fish in your kid's story last week. Is that true? No? Well, I heard that I don't have a fish today. But thank you, Mr. Nee, for doing the kid story while I was back at the convention last weekend. I thought about you guys. Okay. Typically, I've been telling you... Yeah, you. Which way does that one go? Yeah, it might be. Today's word is confused.
Wait, hang on. Wait, it's got an arrow.
There, poor Daniel. Good. So, today's word is confused. Now listen for a second. Well, I look right here. Right here. There we go. Typically, I've told you the name of the character. I've told you if he's a villain or hero. Today, I'm confused. Is Simon the sorcerer a villain, or could he be a hero? I'm going to read you the story, okay? This story happens in the New Testament, in the early stages of the Christian church. Jesus has gone into heaven, and Peter and John are now brave. They're brave apostles, very brave, and they're bold. And they're reaching people who don't have faith. They don't know Jesus. They don't know the story of God's Word. Okay? Today is about Simon the sorcerer. Now listen close, because you're going to need to hear this in order to have a decision if he is a hero or a villain. Now, for some time, a man named Simon had practiced sorcery. Do you know what sorcery is? Where does the power of sorcery come from? From Satan. That's right. Sorcery is from the devil. Okay? So, is it good if you're practicing sorcery? Answer is no. Let's not be confused about that. Okay? Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great. And all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, "This man is the divine power known as the Great Power." They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now listen, this is some more information about Simon. Thank you. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed with them and that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in Jesus. Baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Here's some more about Simon. Here's some more information about Simon. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also this ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter answered him, "May your money perish with you because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Now, if it ended right there, I think we would know, what is Simon? A villain. But it doesn't end there. And this is important. Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me so that nothing you have said may happen to me." So, Simon dabbled in sorcery, which comes from Satan. That's evil. Satan liked having power. I mean, Satan was a borderline. I'll help Daniel. Oh, you have two hands. He was a borderline megalomaniac, wasn't he? He liked that power. He liked having that power. And people followed him around and said, "Oh, you're so powerful, Simon." Maybe just the ladies talked like that. "Simon, you're so powerful. I wish I was like you." But then Simon heard the story of Jesus, and it says he believed and was baptized. But he made a mistake because he thought he could buy the Holy Spirit. Now, can we buy the Holy Spirit? Are we Christians because we come to church? No, we aren't Christians by what we do. We cannot do anything good enough to be Christians, can we? Becoming a Christian is something that is given to us by God. Did Simon understand that? No, he didn't. He didn't. But Peter, who was also a disciple of Jesus, is a very wise man. He knows what the Bible says. And Peter did not let Simon get away with this. He told Simon, "You're wrong. And you're going to perish with your money." What does that mean? What would it mean to perish if you're not saved? That's right. And if you're not a Christian, what does that mean? Hell. Thank you, Eli. That's right. That's hell. Now, Simon didn't stomp down his foot. you're wrong. No, oh, I'm not listening to you. I'm gonna get my money and I'm gonna buy the Holy Spirit. Did he? No, he went to Peter and he said, oh, please, I don't want that to happen to me. Pray for me. Now, can Peter pray for Simon? No. I mean, yes, we can pray for other people. That's very important. But I can't pray for you to accept the gift that Jesus has given. Right? That's not how we'd be saved. I can't save you with my prayers. Peter can't save Simon. But if Simon was truly sorry for what he did and recognized that, what would he do? When you're really sorry, what do you ask for?
Forgiveness.
You guys are pastors. Great. You ask for forgiveness. That's right. And if Simon did that, that means his heart has changed, doesn't it? So does he have a heart of bitterness? No. Jesus would soften our hearts. Jesus changes our hearts, doesn't he? So, Simon had some issues there. He's pretty confused. So what do you think? Help me out here. How do we finish this kid's story? Was Simon a hero or was Simon a villain? Who thinks that Simon was a villain? Wade, why do you think that Simon was a villain? Do you mind if I ask you?
Because he was a sorcerer and he asked
the Bible. Okay. Can't argue with you. Who else thought that Simon was a villain? Ben, why do you think that Simon was a villain? Okay, so he was a sorcerer, which power comes from the devil, and he asked Peter to pray for him when he should have prayed for himself. Okay, who thinks that Simon could be a hero? Logan, why do you think that Simon could be a hero? He really wanted to have the Holy Spirit, and he let himself be baptized. Now, are we saved by baptism alone? No. So what did Simon have to do? What do we hope Simon did? Prayed. So we're baptized and we pray and we're saved? Help me out here. Tell me the whole story.
You have to ask God to forgive you for your
sins. There you go. If Simon wanted the Holy Spirit and he's baptized and he asked God to forgive him for his sins, praise God. You know what, guys? This is a good lesson. We need to make sure that we're not confused like Simon. We cannot do enough good to be saved, but also it's a good lesson. If we're dealing with someone like Simon, don't be afraid to tell them they're wrong. How do we know that someone is wrong when we're preaching to them about Jesus? Because if what they say is opposite of what the Bible says, they're wrong. If they preach something that is not in the Bible, they are, what's the word today?
Confused.
Guys, this is called the truth for a reason. It's called a light for our path for a reason. Because this is how we don't have a life of confusion. Right? Don't be afraid to help other people and tell them the truth so they're not confused. Because if we know the truth and we don't tell somebody, that's pretty sad. That's pretty sad. That is not selfless. If we do that, is it? Not selfless at all. So, if you want to read more about the early church, have your parents read to you a little bit about the book of Acts. We can learn about what happened to some of the very first churches in the whole wide world. And those churches, those are some of the reasons that we have churches today and that we have God's Word. So it's pretty fun to study. Thank you guys. You guys did a good job helping me with my story. You can go stay with your mom and dad.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you, kids. All right, our next hymn this morning is hymn number 333 in your hymnals. Number 333 is A Mighty Fortress. And please rise again as you're able as we sing this hymn together.
Fortress is our God above.
willing. Our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Thus ask who that may be, Christ Jesus it is he, Lord Sabaoth his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word shall fail him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them abideth. The Spirit and the gift are ours through him who thus resideth. Let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever.
Please remain standing as we turn today's scripture, which, again, we return to the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 6 this week. Now I'll give you a moment to find that in your Bibles there. Hosea 6 continues our look through the book of Hosea and again pronounces the problem with Israel and the evidence of that problem, but also proclaims God's promised solution. And so this is Hosea 6. I'll read the whole chapter, reading in Jesus' name. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, but he will heal us. He has wounded us, but he will bandage us. He will revive us after 2 days. He will raise us up on the third day, that we may live before him. So let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. His going forth is as certain as the dawn, and he will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain watering the earth. What shall I do with you, O Ephraim? What shall I do with you, O Judah? For your loyalty is like a morning cloud, and like the dew which goes away early. Therefore I have hewn them in pieces by the prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth. and the judgments on you are like the light that goes forth. For I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice, and in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. But like Adam, they have transgressed the covenant. There they have dealt treacherously against me. Gilead is a city of wrongdoers, tracked with bloody footprints. And as raiders wait for a man, so a band of priests murder on the way to Shechem. Surely they have committed crime. In the house of Israel, I have seen a horrible thing. Ephraim's harlotry is there. Israel has defiled itself. Also, O Judah, there is a harvest appointed for you when I restore the fortunes of my people. This ends the reading of God's word. You may be seated. I have slain them by the words of my mouth. That's God's judgment and promise upon these people. See, all throughout Hosea, God is promising judgment, exile, destruction for the people of Israel. And yet these punishments, this judgment, exile, destruction, all that kind of stuff, these punishments are what you might call temporal punishments. They're physical and political punishments. And they're punishments that, granted, destroy the comfort and the security of the people. But with those words, I have slain them by the words of my mouth. God's taken this one step further. God is declaring a punishment that cannot be felt physically, that does not show in their national security, that does not show in their political stability. With those words, God is declaring that by His word, and by His word alone, He has put these people to death. And I was thinking about that phrase this week. Another phrase kept coming to mind. Maybe you've heard this before. That guy needs killing. You ever heard that before? He needs killing. Can't remember the movie that the quote comes from. But the situation was, there's this guy who was the bad guy of the movie. Really bad guy. And he needed killing. He was so bad, so evil, that the best thing that the hero of this movie could have done was kill him. Because after all, he needed killing. And I guess that phrase actually goes back to another guy, a real guy from American history. His name was Clay Allison. Clay Allison, those of you Western fans might recognize the name. Clay Allison was a cattle rancher and a gunfighter from back in the later half of the 1800s. Didn't live very long, lived into his 40s. As I'm sure most gunfighters do. But man, this guy was a piece of work. He was tough and he was violent. Killed a lot of people. He was known for surviving, I don't know, countless gun battles and knife fights and coming out on top. And he fought against both bad guys and lawmen. But once when he was asked about all the killing he had done, he's quoted as saying, "I never killed a man that didn't need killing." So in our text for today, we got a bunch of people that need killing. See, in addition to these physical punishments that God is going to do to Israel, driving them out of the land, scattering them around the earth, making them a people without a king, these are all the things that God promises. In addition to these punishments, God, through His word, is killing them. And when he says that he's slain them by the words of his mouth, it's not that his words are merely proclaiming death and destruction to these people, but rather that he is utterly and totally killing their false worship, killing their misplaced hopes in false gods, killing their ideas of peace and prosperity apart from anything but the one true God, and killing any hope for the future and for everlasting life that lies in anything that they do or anything apart from the Lord. His words kill them spiritually. And God kills them spiritually because they needed killing. God knows that sinful people need killing. Sometimes what goes along with that is actual physical, cultural, or political destruction. But more importantly, God, who is a jealous God, who requires no less than perfect and unwavering love and loyalty, needs to slay the souls of those who are unable to live up to this requirement. And to see how God does this, we only need to look at the first three verses of this chapter here and God's response to them. See, all along God has been calling out Israel's harlotry. The fact that they've been chasing after all kinds of idols, all kinds of false gods, and that they have turned away from the one true God. There's no faith in God among these people anymore. And their evil actions are evidence of this. They simply do not know God anymore. And so God has been promising destruction and war and famine and exile to Israel. So what's their response? Come, let us return to the Lord. Now, that's a really good response, isn't it? That's a great response. They go on to say, He has torn us, but He will heal us. Wounded us, but He will bandage us. He will revive us after 2 days. And raise us up on the third day so that we might live. Let's know Him. And let's keep working to know Him. That's a good response to God's promise of destruction. But what's God's answer to that? Not so good. Guys, what am I going to do with you? Your loyalty is as fleeting as a wispy cloud. Your loyalty is as steadfast as the dew. See, their good response was hollow, was meaningless. It was a response without a modicum of faith. Maybe these words were simply a poem that they had learned by rote. Maybe the response was just a selfish string of words intended to appease God and stay His hand. As if God behaved like one of their little idols and could be placated by saying the right words in the right order. But whatever the problem was, God knew their hearts. God knew that their response was hollow and faithless and was coming from the mouths of a people who no longer knew Him. They needed killing. They needed to be put to death so that they would truly die to their idols. Die to their misbegotten ideas of who God is. Die to their own ignorance of God. And die to their sin. You see, for people who are so fallen from grace, for people who are so broken, so sinful, that they've forgotten the God who formed them from the earth, for a people whose every inclination of their heart is evil, for a people among whom there is none who is righteous, no, not one. For these people, there is only one future: death. Not very good news, is it? Now, stop thinking about Israel. Start looking at your own heart. Take a look at your own sinfulness. How loyal are you to God anyway? Can you claim perfection when it comes to your love and loyalty to God? Or do you like to take time to set God aside and chase after the desires of your heart instead? How well do you know God? Does your sinful nature delight in God's law? Or does it reject that law and go on and do its own thing? See, folks, you stand before a perfectly holy God who requires a perfect and unwavering devotion to Him. No matter how many pretty words come flowing out of your mouth, God knows you far better than you know Him. You stand before Him and He sees your flailing, floundering, feeble attempts to be faithful to Him. He sees how your heart is constantly being dragged away from Him by the world. How you go chasing after things and ideas and philosophies that seek to stand in His place. You stand before this holy God, and He sees your weak, wicked, and watery attempts to be as holy as He is, as you're trying to sacrifice your way out of the innumerable sins you've committed against Him. You are thieves and murderers, as you covet what belong to other people, and as you hate people around you. I'm sorry to say, but you need killing. And the fact is that God has already slain you. The words of His mouth have already been written and sealed. And those words, the words of the prophets, they have hewn you to pieces. And if you're not convinced of that, go read through the first five books of the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Tell me how you've done. Hey, if you don't have the time, just read the Ten Commandments. Tell me how you've done there. Have you been knowing God well enough to be perfectly devoted to Him and perfectly loving toward your neighbor? Because if you look at those commandments, you're going to find that you're already dead to God. You needed killing. And that killing's done, been accomplished. And yet, there's a harvest appointed for you. By the time you've compared yourself to the holiness of God, and by the time you've realized how you've stacked up against the holiness that God requires of you, you realize that you're nothing but a dry, shriveled, useless plant with rotten roots and bitter fruit. And yet, there's a harvest appointed for you. How can this be? See, in verse 11 here, Judah is used figuratively, meaning that Judah will be the place where the harvest will happen and where the fortunes of God's people will be restored. Even though God has been speaking through Hosea to the people of Israel in the north, He intentionally pegs Judah in the south, as the place that will first receive the harvest. So how can a harvest come out of a dry, shriveled, and useless plant like you and me? Well, in order to answer that question, you need to go back and reread verses 1 through 3 here. Because despite the fact that these words were spoken by a faithless people who did not know God, these words are as true can be. Verses 1 through 3 again. Come, let us return to the Lord, for He has torn us, but He will heal us. He has wounded us, but He will bandage us. He will revive us after 2 days, and will raise us up on the third day, that we may live before Him. So let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. His going forth is as certain as the dawn, and He will come to us like the rain, like the spring rain watering the earth. You see, folks, you and me, we needed killing. I needed killing. You needed killing. Israel and Judah needed killing. But as strange as it might sound, this killing doesn't have to be an eternal death sentence. When God says that you need killing so that you would have life. For those who have been slain by the words of God's mouth, who have looked at His law and realized how dead we are in sin, well, there are two possible futures. And one of these futures God desires, one of them He doesn't. The first possible future is that that person would remain dead in their sin, ultimately facing eternal death under God's punishment in the lake of fire. That person has been slain by the word of God and remains dead in their sin. This is the future that God does not want for a person. This is the future of a person who does not know God and therefore does not know the life that God desires for all people. But this is the second possible future for a person slain by God's word, that they would be raised again to life. Dead to the demands of His law, dead to the consequences of sin that law has shown them, and revived and raised up, healed and bandaged to the point that even death itself has been cured. This is what God wants for every person He has ever created. To know God is to know that He kills you so that you might have life. He slays you. He violently kills you with the truth of His word so that you would die, so that you would be utterly separated from every sin, from every bit of unfaithfulness, from every lack of your knowledge of Him, completely separated from your sinfulness, so that you would now live in Him and for Him, having the assured hope of eternal life in the courts of His heavenly kingdom. And what does Scripture tell us about the source of this life after death? The only thing that can be the source of life, the death of His beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Because through His death, every sin you have ever committed, every sin that is judged by God's word and that kills you, was taken on by Christ. Jesus Christ became that sin. He became every one of those sins so that He would be the one to die for them instead of you. And because of His resurrection, God has proven to you that you yourself are no longer subject to death, but instead you have been raised up again with Christ. See, once you were a dead man walking, already killed by the judgment of God's word. But now, through faith in Jesus Christ, you have been given life anew, a life that cannot be taken from you and that will continue on into eternity. Yeah, you needed killing. You needed to be put to death in order to kill your ideas that sacrifice can overcome your disloyalty to God, that somehow you can make up for your faithlessness by doing good things for God. It doesn't work. You needed to be put to death in order to kill your ideas that burnt offerings can overcome your ignorance of God, that somehow you can make up for your not knowing God by offering sacrifices to Him, whatever those sacrifices may be. You need to be put to death in order to kill any ideas that you can please or appease God in any way greater than Christ did, as He pleased God with His perfect life and appeased Him with His perfect sacrifice on that cross. So come, let us return to the Lord, because He has indeed torn us, rent us limb from limb with the demands of His law and our failures to meet them. But He has healed us through the Christ who kept that law perfectly in our place. He has indeed wounded us fatally with His promises of everlasting death for sin. But He has bandaged us through the Christ who died our death in our place, so that just as He rose again to life, we too will live. So let us know, and let us continue to press on to know the Lord completely. Let us know the Lord who slays us with His word, who shows us our sinfulness and our hopeless state before Him, But let us also know the Lord who offers new life as a free gift bought for us by the blood of the spotless Lamb, Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us pray. Lord God, we confess to you that we look at the demands of your law and we are killed. We see just how dead we are in our sin. Our sinful nature cannot keep that law, cannot please you through it. And so the words of your mouth have put us to death. But Lord, the words of your mouth have also given us life by proclaiming to us that Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, has paid for those sins, has been our propitiation for those sins, that perfect payment that you require. I thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ who died the death that we deserved and rose again so that we would have new life now, and eternal life with you. Lord God, thank you for your word that both kills and restores. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our last hymn for today is hymn number 378. Hymn number 378 is Be Thou My Vision. Oh, I thought you were going to have a helper there on the organ. That would have been awesome. 378 is Be Thou My Vision. I'll ask you to please rise once again as we sing this hymn together.
My vision, O Lord of my heart, not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Be thou my wisdom, be thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, and I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Be thou my shield and my sword for the fight. Be thou my dignity, be thou my might. Thou my soul shelter, and thou my high tower. Raise thou me heavenward, O power of my power. Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou mine inheritance, now and always. Thou and thou only, be first in my heart, my King of heaven, my treasure thou art. My King of heaven, when victory is won, May I reach heaven's joys, O bright and sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
And please remain standing as we begin this, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us hear the gracious invitation of this table that the Lord has given to us in Holy Scripture. And from Matthew 11:28, we read, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And from John 3:16-17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Now let's confess together our faith as it is expressed in the Apostles' Creed, and that can be found in the front of your hymnals. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 11:28, we are encouraged to examine ourselves before partaking of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so in this spirit, let us now take some time to confess our sins and receive the absolution that is promised in Scripture. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. You may be seated. The Lord Jesus, the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, He gave it to them saying, "This, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? Is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all share in the one loaf. This is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the blood of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Rejoice, for our crucified and risen Lord, Jesus Christ, has now given you his holy body and blood, through which he has made full satisfaction for all your sins. May he strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto everlasting life. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And now let us pray together the prayer that our Lord has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Well, at this time, it's been our tradition to take a moment and share together those things that you have seen God moving and working in your lives and in the lives of those around you. So I'll give you a moment to think of if there's something you want to share today.
I have dear friends whose grandmother was a missionary for many years in India and Tibet. And I'm so privileged to read her memoirs. Mm-hmm. And as I read that, it was such a great blessing to me when I think of how we pray for our missionaries. Because her story is so awesomely.
Those saints who have gone before us are such a source of encouragement and strength. And God uses them to encourage us, I'm sure. Thank you. Yes, Harvey. Oh, great. Good, good. More progress. Praise God for that. Thank you. Wonderful news. Is he? Good. Okay. Very good. Well, that's certainly encouraging news. You know, that's been a struggle for him for a long time. So we'll keep those prayers coming and pray that that there's wisdom there, whether knee surgery be the right way to go. Thank you. Yes, Eli. Yeah, definitely keep those police in your prayers. They're under attack, literally, right now. And that's another indication of the sinfulness, the brokenness of our world. So keep them in your prayers for sure. Thank you, Eli.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Ah, great, great prayer to pray that God's will would be done in this. But what a blessing to have a willing family to take on a child and raise them. Ah, wonderful. That's instant family. Add water and stir. Wow. Yes. Fantastic. Great to have you guys here. There's nothing like the love of family. Such a blessing from the Lord. Is that right? Well, good for them. Well, pray for their travels and hope they enjoy their time here for sure. Well, I don't want to cut anybody off if you're still working on the guts to get your hand up there. But I think we might be done. All right. Well, please rise and receive this benediction. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forever. Amen.